Hey, you are listening to Oh Crap Parenting with me, your host, Jamie Gralacki. This is a podcast for conscious parents who drop the F-bomb a lot. Hey, guys. So today I'm here with Nikki Berner. She is a physical therapist specializing in prenatal and postpartum pelvic health. So we're going to talk about all things pelvic floor, which should be exciting. Her company's name is The Femme Method of Pelvic Health. Hey, Nikki, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you? Because I also think that you have a potty training age child, which is how I met you on the internet, because you tagged me with a copy of my book. And then I was like, oh, look at her content. This is amazing.
Yes. So I am a pelvic floor physical therapist out of Texas. And I own my own business where I'm treating women, mainly pregnancy, postpartum, pelvic pain, painful sex. And I do have a potty training child. So I read your book because I was like, I want to do this the right way and see kind of where our worlds overlap. And I felt like there were just a lot of really good things in there, from a pelvic health standpoint that I wanted to incorporate in our potty training journey. And so as I was traveling down that road, I'm like, people need to know that there's a lot of really, really, really important things that you can do to set your kid up for success, not only during the potty training phase, but just for pelvic health in the long term.
Okay. Well, I wanted to talk about painful sex, but let's lead with this. We'll talk about painful sex, but I feel like this would be more apropos for my audience too. Like, what are those things that we can do to set kids up?
Yeah. So one of the really big things that I like is just that creating that mind body connection of when you have to pee. One of the things that I teach the women that I work with is, you know, that just in case peeing, where women are like, okay, I got to go 5 minutes down the road. I better go just in case. Or, you know, I have to go pick a kid up. I better go just in case. Well, what you're doing is you're just overriding your system on knowing, you know, as your bladder is a muscle. And so as that bladder fills up with urine, that muscle stretches, those receptors stretch, they send that signal to your brain that says, hey, you have to pee. The signal comes back down and says, relax the sphincter, go pee. So when we are training our bladder to think, oh, whenever it stretches this much, I have a little bit of urine in there, I have to pee, it starts to get on that track. And so then later you're going down this whole line of significant frequency where you're like, ah, every little urge, you have to pee.
Right.
Yes. And so I felt like that was a really, really important aspect in, you know, in your book for the training that I was like, yes, you know, it's making that connection early on that first day of, hey, this is that sensation that I have to pee. Let's go pee.
Right. And it, you know, there are times in my book where I say, like, we call them easy catches, you know, before you get in the car. And so many parents are like, force their kids to go pee before the car.
Yes.
Which I understand. But here in my work, I've never seen a kid who can force it yet. And then they tell me, well, I'm just going to make them sit for 10 minutes. And I'm like, no.
No, they're going to get so pissed.
Yeah. And is that, and pelvic floor ties into poop too, right? So,
oh my gosh.
So totally. One of the things I deal a lot with, like poop withholders, is that doctors will tell them to make the kids sit after breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 15 minutes. And I'm like, from a human standpoint, I tell people I would punch your throat. If I don't have to poop, why would you make me sit for 15 minutes? But also, if I'm going to sit there, guess what? My ass cheeks are separated, so my anus is going to start to prolapse, right? I'm going to be on a road for hemorrhoids. But also, I think just what an annoying thing to do to a child.
It's such an annoying thing to do to a child. And again, it's like overriding that natural process of, you know, let your body digest. Everybody digests at a different time, you know? And so we can't just expect to plop these kids on the toilet and be like, poop. Like, when was the last time you were told to sit on a toilet to poop? Like, peeing in a cup at the doctor's office is stressful enough.
Right. Well, and one of the things I found is that a lot of parents, especially, you know, the first week of potty training when everybody's on Tinder hooks, but also with the poop withholding, they'll recognize the signs that their child does in fact have to poop. So then they want to sit and force them, which again, never gets us good results. So one of the things recently in the last couple of years we've been incorporating is, since most kids poop their pants on the playground, the minute you see those signs, run around the dining room table or like run outside and run around so you can loosen
Totally. Yeah. And then, you know, whenever you see that and you put them on the toilet, and if, you know, they're like, ah, like what the heck? Because it is like a weird sensation. You have to relax that pelvic floor to get that, you know, sphincter to open up. So if what I did, and I felt like that worked, was doing, you know, some breathing. Our breath is directly correlated to our pelvic floor. So when we inhale, our diaphragm drops down, our pelvic floor lengthens, and it relaxes. When we exhale, it lifts. So having, you know, a toolbox of pinwheels where you can blow into those bubbles, if you're good at breathing, distract them with those types of things. And then you'll just
horse lips.
Yes. Yeah. Raspberries, whatever. And distract them with those kinds of things to, you're like taking the back door to, no pun intended, to get them to relax their pelvic floor. And then it just comes out and it becomes less scary.
Yeah, that's awesome. Those are in my book too. And one thing I do with slightly older childs is I have the parent place their hand kind of by their tailbone and say, can you breathe into my hand? And I find that mostly the child trying to figure out how to breathe into their hand is the distraction.
Yes.
But then the breath also helps.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So before we move on to mamas, let's talk about kids and pee and poop withholding just a little bit longer. So we are seeing record numbers of kids being able to not release their pee or their poop when they have the sensation. It's hitting record numbers, and I have correlated to the pandemic. Because I've always worked with poop withholders, I never, ever in 14 years of doing this full time had a kid who could hold pee for 17 hours. Like, that was crazy. So I said, well, there's got to be something about the stress. This started in March of 2020. So this can't be an accident. Like, yes. I never had a case, and now this is all I'm working with. So what do you think's going on here? I mean, clearly anxiety, but...
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. So our pelvic floor has a connection with our central nervous system. So if we are wound up and we are in this heightened state, we are going into protective mode. Our pelvic floor is going to tighten up. It's the same thing whenever I work with women who are like super stressed out, type A personality, jaw pain. It's like textbook.
Right.
You know, if you have jaw pain and you're type A personality, I will bet you $100 you have pelvic floor tightness or dysfunction. And so I think that's what's happening to kids. I think their central nervous system is just heightened. It's wound up and they are having a harder time. They don't have the mental tools and that, you know, the toolbox to manage and cope with that stress. And, you know, sometimes their parents don't either. And so it's just that compounding effect of, you know, not being able to override and like bring down their central nervous system, which has a direct correlation and impact on their pelvic floor.
And now you're just open like the most impossible can of worms. Cause the minute you said, you have a tight jaw and you're type A. And I was like, okay, so that's every woman on the fucking planet right now.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, and if we need to like, I don't know. My head went really fast to like, yes, we're moving too fast. We're keeping our kids stressed out. Too many activities, which is all this stuff I bitch about on this podcast is like,
yeah,
slow down. Like, let's all
slow it down.
I want to be the homesteading mama collecting chicken eggs. Like, yeah. The kids playing in the stream, you know,
doing yoga.
Right. but maybe we could talk about that for a second. Like, what can we do besides, you know, the obvious? I just think it really comes down to kids being overbooked.
Yeah. I think that, and I mean, really, as a parent, it's our responsibility to kind of dictate what the vibe is in our household, you know? And so if our household is like running on 10,000 all the time, like, could you imagine like just waking up in that? And it's, you know, eat this, hurry up, drink this. We're going to school, ripping to school. We're exhausted all day. We come home, eat this food. You have 10 minutes. You're going to do screen time. Now it's time to go to bed. Like, rinse and repeat that every single day. No, that's just too much. And so being conscious of what your day-to-day life looks like, working in, you know, just settle down time, quiet time, waking up calm, eating calm, going to school, you know, just setting your life up for this, like to bring it down a little bit and know that there are going to be times where things go back up again, and, you know, stressful moments. But as a parent, kind of having your own toolbox so that you can be a demonstration and a good example for your child, like breathing and just laying down and not go resorting to all the different distractions that we need, that we think we need in the day to day. to help us with that.
Well, it's funny because I first saw this pee withholding, like I said, in March 2020. And, you know, parents of young children did their best to shield the kids. You know, they didn't want to, we were stuck as parents of like, don't touch that, but look, don't become a germaphobe. But here, use your sanitizer, you know?
Right, exactly.
And so it was funny. So many of my clients that were experiencing this, they said, no. We sheltered with my mother-in-law where not, you know, my kid's watching Frozen on repeat. She doesn't know the stress of the pandemic. And I was like, you think she doesn't know that something's up, that you guys are all stressed out and she gets to watch Frozen twice in a row?
Like, right.
Just those things are enough to be like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Kids are super smart and they can feel your vibes. And if your vibes are, you know, super wound up, they're going to be like, oh, should I be wound up too? Like everybody else around me is.
And then another thing you mentioned that was so funny about the on the go. I had just done a joint post with a blood sugar expert that I had interviewed. And we were trying to give parents like swap out so that they could help with their kids' blood sugar, thus helping with behavior and hangry. And so we had put some swap outs, but some of them weren't like in a pouch or in a yogurt container. And they were, and parents literally were like, what do you expect me to do? What's my kid going to eat in the car? And I was like, don't eat in the car. Set up your life. You don't have to eat in the car. I mean, right. Sometimes it happens, but this whole like, this on the go and then this like constant feeding of the snacks and then the, you know, it creates this, this cycle.
Right.
Cool. All right. Let's move on to mamas. So what's the number one thing people come to you for?
Leaking, stress incontinence. And then a close follow up is painful sex. But, the biggest thing is stress incontinence. You know, they want to be able to do things with their kids without leaking all day long.
Okay. Let me ask you personally. I don't leak all day long, but I can't go on a trampoline.
Yeah.
So I don't consider that leaking because I don't live on a trampoline. And should I really, as a 54-year-old woman in menopause, be jumping up and down on a trampoline?
I don't know. You tell me. Is it an activity that you want to do? And so that's the biggest thing. You know, people like base their life off, you know, I can't jump on a trampoline. Okay, well, that could be the most complex thing you do. But if that's what you want to do
each day,
like if your kids are like, mom, come with me on the trampoline. And you're like, this doesn't look good. Then I would say, yeah, that should be a goal of yours. But if you're not, if you're like, I don't ever want to go to a trampoline, I don't need a trampoline, then okay, we can make sure that the things that you do in your day-to-day life, you're not leaking.
Right. I would like to be on a trampoline. It's well established that I need pelvic floor help. It's just one of those things that like, it's like when the car engine lights on and you just like keep, you're like, oh shit, I got back in the car. Now I need to fix the car, but then you forget. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of women feel like that too, because it feels like nobody actually wants to go to PT for pelvic floor therapy. Like some people are like, okay, I'm happy to be here, but like nobody's like, this is a party. Like I can't wait. Like I'm so excited for this. Until they leave their first session. And if they feel good about it, then they're like, okay, yes, I am so excited for this. I can see the difference that this is going to make in my life.
Yeah, I'll probably go get it. And then I'll be the annoying person on the internet that's like, all your problems are going to be solved.
Yes.
Yes. That's how I usually work.
Yes.
Let's talk about painful sex, because a shocking statistic that I've quoted on this podcast before is that 75% of women say that good sex to them is not painful. And I was like, what?
Right.
That's your qualifier for good sex?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a problem. And it is crazy because I'm like, this shouldn't just be like bearable. Like this is like sex should not be like a tolerable experience.
Right.
Like this should be enjoyable. Like you should want to do that. And that kind of the painful sex thing does loop back to, you know, that mind-body connection. If you have had a lifetime of where you go to engage in that activity and it's painful, your brain is going to tell your pelvic floor, no, ma'am, close up shop. I'm guarding. I'm tight. We cannot. This is a painful experience and I have to protect you from that. So as a pelvic floor therapist, what we kind of do is kind of help unpack that a little bit of, you know, why has that been painful? Working with mental health therapists too, to kind of see that there's an overlap there of, you know, what the barrier is. And then looking at your pelvic floor muscle function, you know, is it the tightness that is causing it to be painful? What is it? And so, and treating it from that standpoint. And women do really, really well with pelvic floor physical therapy and addressing painful sex.
All right. Well, one of the things I'm thinking of here, because I'm trying to backtrack, because every time you talk, I think of more things.
Yes.
Okay. So now when we look at something like, let's look at leaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the big joke. Every mom pees on the trampoline, probably because only moms are on trampolines with their kids, right? Like no right. single woman goes to the trampoline park.
Right. Right.
Or not single, I should say a woman who hasn't had a child. But there are these like almost established things of like, well, yes, you had a baby. So of course you pee your pants. And then I started thinking about, well, we need to talk more about the symptoms because I think people don't even know they need help. And so this idea of painful sex, like we should be talking about sex over coffee while the kids are playing soccer to check in and be like, hey, it hurts. Do you hurt? Oh yeah, I've hurt my whole life. Or mine hurts once. I have a tilted uterus. So painful sex hits it once and it's not all the time, but when
right.
it does, it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, you can go home now because
right. yeah. yeah, this is over.
Right.
yeah.
But then I had always assumed like, because I had a tilted uterus, I assumed painful sex was part of the process. So then when other people tell me they have painful sex all the time, what are your parameters? Is it all the time, once in a while?
Our pelvic floor muscles are just like any other muscle. They're going to fluctuate with your activity, what you're doing, your stress level. So there are going to be times where you're like, oh, that one was a little, you know,
ouchy.
More painful than I would. Yeah. A little more painful than I would have liked, or ouch, that position hurt. So if it's not always like that, I would kind of just like put that in your memory bank. And then if it occurs again, then you're like, okay, we don't want that to become a pattern. Let's address it. But sex should not be painful, period. Leaking is not a normal symptom, period. End of story. That's the parameter.
That's the parameter. Just shouldn't be. But within that, it's going to be, but let's talk about why.
Yes, exactly.
Now, do you find any difference with the painful sex during phases of your cycle? Because phases of cycle are super huge right now. And I love it because I started tracking this when I was in circus school when I was in my 20s. All us girls would sync up together when we recognized that there were certain times where we could go so hardcore, like we were beasts. And then there were other times where we just wanted to do the lyrical ballet. And then we were like, wait a minute. We all have our periods at this. So, so I started tracking that like years ago, but I'm wondering with the painful sex, because just things get swollen, you get bloated. Maybe mm-hmm. you do get more
change
intense.
In your hormones.
Okay.
Yeah. Change in your hormones. It's going to affect your lubrication. Yeah. That totally all applies. I think the first role of that is knowing your cycle. You would be surprised on how many women are just like along for the ride of like, okay, they have their app. They're like, okay, this is day one, you know, halfway through I'm ovulating. And then, you know, my period's going to come a couple weeks later. But like what that means to your body and how you could be supporting your body throughout your cycle with nutrition, exercise, it all starts to help you put the pieces together. And painful sex is definitely part of that. But I would say it's more linked to, you know, your hormone fluctuation. And then you can just make adjustments as far as like, let's throw in a little bit of more lubricant. Let's, you know, take it nice and slow this time.
That makes sense. Yeah. I forgot we were talking about sex because I started thinking about like all the women. There's this huge thing right now too, the dangers of the birth control pill and how that led us all. And like feminists, we're all tracing back to like, well, wait a minute, why were we sold something dangerous to begin with? And then we were taught to be not in sync with our cycle. We were taught to only track our cycle for pregnancy purposes. But now there's also this pull I'm seeing online of natural family planning, which becomes, it's like, we got to untie the knot, right? Like that didn't work. Everybody got pregnant in the 70s trying to do that because
right.
we were taught to only check it for pregnancy. So we were guessing, we didn't have apps. So now I'm wondering, like, that would be so cool to learn your cycle so fully, because I bet natural family planning would be so much easier.
Totally, totally, totally. And just the overflow of knowing your cycle on your day-to-day life is so fulfilling. You know, just like I said, from the nutrition standpoint, imagine like as you're going through your cycle, instead of like rolling into your luteal phase where you start feeling like crap, and you can nutritionally support yourself throughout that. So you're like, well, this isn't so bad. You know, it's like, I know myself so well during this that I know how to handle every phase so that I'm like thriving.
Right. And ask any woman, like, I think you need carbs closer to when you bleed. And I was like, mm-hmm. well, no shit. Yeah. We all know that. Yeah. Talk to the pizza guy.
Yeah.
He knows exactly. I cycle better than me.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
No, and it was always helpful as a single mom with my son. I always, like, 3 days before bleeding, my son, I call it suicidal, but it's not suicidal. It's more like hope, like everything's hopeless. Like, why am I even alive? What? Like, I can't even be a good mom. My job sucks. I'm terrible at my work, you know? And then I'm like, oh, okay, go to bed. And
yeah.
And I was able to tell Pascal, even when he was little, tomorrow I'm not parenting. Everything is yes. There's cereal and milk. The answer is yes to everything, but I'm out.
Yeah.
So yeah. He loved my period days.
He's like, woohoo, this is great.
All right. Speaking of periods, let's talk about period cups.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of new on the market. I am now, I'm not full in menopause. I'm still doing the very erratic bleeding. So I haven't had my full year not, but I'm definitely approaching. And I just found the Flex Cup, which is a disc, which is pretty new to me.
Yeah. So there's the cup and then there are the discs. I am team disc through and through. And there, with the cup or the disc, there is a pretty big learning curve. But I think if you like give it a solid college try, you're going to figure it out pretty quickly. And what I like about it is you don't have to mess with it all day long. You put it in the morning, it holds like 5 or 6 tampons. And then at the end of the day,
tampons worth of fluid.
Yes. Tampons worth. Yes. Yeah.
We're not adding 5 tampons to the disc.
No, we're not adding 5 tampons.
My audience is very brain addled moms of toddlers. So sometimes yes. I have to say very obvious things.
Like the Nerf gun just shoots tampons up.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, so it can hold way more. You don't have to mess with it all day long. You take it out at the end of the day, either in the shower or in the bathroom. And another thing that is a big seller for me is a lot of women experience way less cramping, me included, when they switch to the disc versus tampons.
Yeah, I don't have a full study because I was late in the game. I'm losing my period. It's sort of that brownish monarch. I think the thing that I like is like, so I had a period, I don't know, a few months ago. And it, not to be gross, you guys, but I'm always talking about poop anyway. It was like stringy. And I was like, what the hell is this? And so I looked it up online and it's old blood that the uterus is shedding. So I was like, oh, I would have never, like I felt very, like hippie mama. Like I was like, wow, I'm so in touch with what's happening right now. But yeah. I also tried back in the day, I had tried the Diva cups and regularly bled through them or leaked. And that's the tilted uterus. And I feel like that Diva cup has to suction. And if you don't get it right, or you have a tilted uterus where your cervix is a little more back, the disc just was bigger. It felt like I didn't need to be so specific with it.
Yeah. And that's what I say. You know, you slide it up there, you're aiming for your tailbone. And then when the front rim comes up, you shove that up there and then it just poof, opens like a sunshade up by your, up by your cervix.
I don't think it was so much easier to get in. I felt like the Diva cup, and I know anatomy and I know my anatomy, but when you're in the bathroom and you're tired and you're like, I was like, where the fuck is my cervix?
Right. Right. And
give me the parachute deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me the sunshade. Yeah. That's the other problem with cups. You know, I think a lot of women are like, yeah, this seems like really cool. Like, let me try a reusable period product. And then they just go to Target, they grab a random cup off the shelf, and then it's like a complete disaster. It's leaking, they're fumbling around, they can't use it right. It's applying a pressure to their bladder. And there are so many cups out there that knowing which one is for you can be really annoying and really hard to find. Because, you know, with a tilted uterus and a higher cervix, you need a cup that is going to go like all the way up there with a long stem. So like if we were to just go and get like an off the shelf, I got one from, I think like Lola when I first tried it. And I'm like, oh, this is no way. I like didn't even work at all. Cause it doesn't catch anything. And then the other thing too is the firmness of the cups. If it's pushing on your bladder, like some women might feel like like I feel like my urine stream is slower, like I can't poop when they're wearing the cup. Well, then you have to mess with the firmness of the cup too. So then it becomes this whole like, great, now I have this like menagerie of, you know,
and they're not
cups.
Right, $40.
And they're not the right ones.
And yeah. It's not like you can sell them on Marketplace.
Right, exactly.
Probably could.
There's a used menstrual cup. People are like, no, thank you. So there's actually a resource that I direct a lot of my patients to. She's online. Her account is Period Nirvana. And her life's mission has been researching period cups and discs and period products. So she has a quiz where it's like, have you had a baby? Yes or no? Goes through all the questions. And then it's like, huzzah! And it spits out the two like period products that are going to be best for you. So has the questions like, do you know that you have, a high cervix or a tilted uterus? And then it's like, these are the cups. So then it like eliminates the whole trial and error of grabbing an off the shelf cup and it doesn't work for you. And you're like, well, dang it, I just spent $20 on that thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was glad that with the Flex disc, I had found a disposable one first. And I was like, oh, I'm in this. I don't even know if I've got one more period in me, but I still want to use this product.
Yeah. And with the discs, because they sit so much higher up, women can have sex with them in. So it's not like you have to like shut down shop if you don't want to, or, you know, you can have messless free sex when use the either reusable discs or like there's the one that I use, the Hello disc, because they might feel it, but it's just be a different texture. It's not something painful.
Nice. Oh, I want one more period product. What do you think about the Thinks, right? The reusable,
the period underwear? Yeah, I think they're great. So there was the whole investigation and lawsuit with the PFA, like where they had toxic stuff in them.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah, it was like a whole thing between Thinks and Nix. They discovered, you know, those forever toxins in the underwear. And so I think since then they've done a better job of like vetting where they get their products from. And then there's also, I think Salt has also reusable or like period panties as well. I think they're great. I think you just have to be careful with knowing like you shouldn't sit in those all day. Like you have to change them.
Right.
Or you're just going to open yourself up to a yeast infection, honestly. But I think they're great for sleep. You know, if you work out in them, that's fine. You just have to change it immediately. The problem is, one, they're expensive. And if you're going to wear them for your entire cycle, you need to get like a stash. So you could be spending like a couple $100 on getting your period's worth of period panties. I think they're a great backup if you're nervous about, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to try the disc or the cup.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I like don't know how this is going to go. It's a great backup. It's like a safety net.
Or yeah, like overnight too. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think the period panties are great for, you know, girls getting their periods for the first time.
I was just making that. Yeah. For young girls.
As your mom radar is on and you're like, you are moody. Like something is coming down the line here. Like I feel like this is coming. Introducing that, like teaching your daughter about the cycle, like so she knows that this isn't something to be ashamed of, scared of, and having that plan of, you know, we're going to have a little bag for you in your backpack. You're going to have period panties in there. You can start wearing them now if you want, if you're nervous, if you start feeling crampy. I think it's great for them. And then it's less intimidating versus like, all right, your first period, here's a super tampon.
Right. Well, too, I just feel like, I mean, for most first periods, you get that menarche, you get that brown mm-hmm. stuff.
Brown, so, rusty.
You know, it's not usual to have like a, you know, have to leave school, you know? Right. But still, how beautiful to talk to your daughter about this. I mean, I was lucky my mom told me about my period, but it wasn't, you know, like, there were friends of mine who were like, what?
Like, yeah.
You're going to bleed. And they were like, why?
Yes. Why? Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So that would be a good, just having that baggy in the backpack sounded lovely. All right. Before we close out, let's talk very briefly about Kegels.
Oh God.
So I can leave you on an angry note.
Yes. I love that for us.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
It's just antiquated half-ass physical therapy.
Okay.
Period.
Done. Mic drop.
Done. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It really is. And this is what I tell my patients. When in life are you just laying on your back squeezing your vagina muscles? Like, what is the...
And if you are, how do you get that job?
Right, exactly.
Actually, we don't want that job. That?
Yeah, no, you don't. Because then you're going to have a super tight pelvic floor. Yeah, and so it's like, when that is not a functional... That's not a functional activity. You know, I think there... The concept of like knowing your body, of being able to lift and relax and squeeze and relax is important, but I never prescribe it as a form of exercise. One of the reasons being our pelvic floor is different than any other muscle in our body. It has different origin and insertion points. The muscle fibers run in different directions. And so it functions different than a bicep where you can squeeze and relax. And whenever and what they've actually found in the research is just doing, for fully continent women, no issues, doing a pelvic floor muscle contraction, it's only able to produce about 50% of the strength of your pelvic floor. So when you're doing a Kegel, it's like not only like over tightening your pelvic floor, but it's like half-ass strengthening. It's literally not even providing full like range of motion, full like strength. It's not a full strength assessment of your pelvic floor anyways.
Okay. That makes, I liked, you did an Instagram post about it and you said it's not a functional movement, and I do functional movement as exercise.
Yeah.
And one of the things that got me into it was hearing this famous guy say, when in life do you carry 2 10-pound weights? Like, why would you ever train your body equally like that, you know, like,
right,
you've got a sack of potatoes and a kid, like, you know, like you're constantly imbalanced, you know?
Right. Exactly.
And then what can you do instead of Kegels? Is there anything you can do at home?
Yeah. So there's a ton of stuff that you can do at home. One of my mentors, Nicole Cozine, she has a pelvic floor PT clinic out in California. She described the pelvic floor as a trampoline. And I feel like giving this analogy or this metaphor of that can kind of help put this in everybody's brain a little bit more. So when you think about your pelvic floor, you think of the muscles are going to be the mesh part of the trampoline. So you can have super tight mesh, you can have super loose mesh. The ring around it is going to be the metal part, is that stability part. Those are going to be our skeletal system that's supporting that mesh. And then all the springs and stuff, those are the ligamentous structures. So for a trampoline to work properly, all of those things have to be in line. You have to have a stable ring, a stable surface that it's on. So our legs, our hips, our muscles have to be stable. You have to have the ability to lengthen and lift. So we have to have good range of motion. So when you're thinking about doing exercises at home, okay, well, what can I do to stabilize my hips? I can do glutes. I can do, you know, hip strengthening. I can do back strengthening, core strengthening. All of those things are going to have a direct correlation to our pelvic floor. They all talk to each other.
So basically exercise. Do a good exercise program and you'll be all set.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate this. This was super fun. Do you have any parting words that you would like to say? Any wise words of wisdom?
Yes, I would just say, if you don't feel like something is right in your body, or you're not being heard by doctors, or you're going through life and you're leaking and, you know, experiencing the painful sex or constipation, it does not have to be like that. You can reach out to a physical therapist and talk to them. There are plenty of resources online, plenty of people that you can talk to online to see like, okay, is this right? Is this not right? And then develop a plan for yourself. Don't just continue to go through your life with experiencing these, because as you roll into menopause, you're going to lose that buffer of wellness. And so addressing it early on, I know, yeah, you're going to address it early on, get good rehab, and then that's going to just carry you through for the rest of your life.
And you said good resources online. Does pelvic floor therapy always have to be in person?
It does not. It does not. So you can do online virtual wellness consultations. I opened myself in my business up to that as well. You can find a local, if you feel like you cannot make it into a physical therapist, you can find a local physical therapist that will do telehealth sessions. I do personally feel like going into the PT is going to give you the most information and the most bang for your buck. But for some people, that's just not possible. So there's a lot of online resources and a lot of physical therapists that do things online that can help you so that at least you're getting something and removing some barrier to care.
Sweet. And where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at The Femme Method or online at www.thefemmethod.com.
And that's The Femme, like feminine, like F-E-M.
Yep, F-E-M method.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Nikki. I so appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye, everyone. Just a reminder, if you need additional resources, I have Oh Crap Potty Training. I have Oh Crap, I Have a Toddler. Those books are available everywhere you want to find a book. You can also go to my website, jamieglowacki.com, where you can book private sessions with me, buy any of my courses. Those are really geared towards potty training help. And also, I'm on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook anymore, and I'm not on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, jamie.glowacki, and I do a lot of lives and usually posting a lot of good information. So those are extra resources for you. And as always, rock on. Have an awesome day.